And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on your community station, Missionary Radio. And it is, well, guys, we have been seeing some rain.
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm. What about it? I mean, it looks nice, right?
It is. Absolutely.
It's the sign of fall.
That's it.
Because this is the first day of fall.
Today is?
Yes.
Oh,
today is
fantastic.
The first day of fall.
Let the pumpkins begin.
That's right. Pumpkin spice and everything. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, but it's good to have you guys in with us this morning. David Tucker and, of course, Brother Joe Barner. And what's good today?
What's good today?
Yeah, what's good?
There's lots of things that are good today. We had good services yesterday.
That's good.
And we're still kind of humming along from that. And we're seeing a lot of neat things that are opportunities within our own community.
Amen.
I was talking with somebody last night about a homeless ministry that's been really taking off, helping the homeless and helping those that are in need. And there is no shortage of need in our areas.
That's true.
But with the need comes the opportunity for ministry. So those are all good things that kind of come to pass. Today, though, we're actually going to talk about following God in our prayer life. And so I teach a Sunday school class, and our Sunday school class chose a month ago to not do a book-by-book study, which we've done in the past for many, 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 many years. They wanted to do questions. They send in a question. This is our question. Bring up a scripture. Give us some discussion points. Email that out, and then they all study it. And then on Sunday, we get together and we talk about that question. Well, the question this last Sunday was, does God answer our prayers? Well, that's, you know, the VBS answer is yes and amen.
Yeah, so.
Yes.
I remember the little plaque on the wall growing up, God answers prayer.
That's it. Absolutely. But then the next question that follows that is, does it change God's will when he does? So it's a good little part A, part B question to walk our way through. And so we're going to do that. There may be somebody getting ready to pray right now. God is listening, and he will answer. But we'll talk more about it as we go along.
Missionary Radio family, this is Ken Cummins, General Manager. I need to talk to you heart to heart. If you're on our mailing list, you most likely received my letter about our What an Awesome God Carathon coming October 7th through 9th. But here's the challenge. Because of circumstances beyond our control, that letter arrived later than normal. And right now, we're facing a serious summer shortfall. That's why I'm asking you, would you respond immediately? Don't wait. Go to missionary.radio, click donate, fill out your faith pledge card, and set up your partnership. Or if it's easier, just call us at 877-885-9655. Remember, your community station, Missionary Radio, is 100% listener-funded. We exist because of your prayers and your support. Every song, every program, every word of encouragement that goes out over these airwaves is made possible by friends like you. Pray now, respond today, and join us October 7th through 9th as we declare together what an awesome God we serve.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
Welcome back to the Front Porch here on this, kind of rainy Monday so far, and it's but I like the rain, but it's a beautiful day to be in love with Jesus Christ, of course.
Amen.
And
Amen.
This is the Front Porch on your community station, Missionary Radio.
That's right. We were going to be talking about prayer, and as we're talking about prayer, the first question that we always ask, and we give a simplistic answer, which is, you know, does God answer prayer? And the answer is, well, yes. Because as Christians, we just believe that. But why biblically do we believe that God answers prayer? Why biblically do we believe that God not only will listen, but respond to us? Actually, scripturally, we see examples of it over and over again, where God not only listens to prayer, but he actually does reply. And so one of the ones that we want to look at, because I think it's a perfect model for what we're discussing today, is over in Genesis chapter 18. There, beginning in verse 16, Joe, would you pick up as God begins to debate whether or not he's going to talk with Abraham?
When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. And then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him."
All right, well, let's stop right there. That simple phrasing is God deliberating within his own mind, am I going to hide from Abraham things I'm about? And what he says is basically, no, I'm not going to. Abraham's walking along, and God's, if you want to think of it as thinking, you know, should I tell Abraham what I'm about to get involved in? So there's two things that are very important in that statement. One, he says, what I'm about to do. It's not a decision. It's already done. The decision about Sodom and Gomorrah has taken place. And God has deliberated and made a choice, and he's going forward with it. The question is not, what is God going to do? The question is, do I want to tell Abraham what I'm going to do? And he does. He really does. So when we start talking about prayer, which is us talking with God and God talking to us, we need to start with the understanding of that God does what God does because he's God.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get in front of the bulldozer and put out both hands, you aren't going to stop it. Not going to happen. You have to walk into prayer with an understanding of that. Mm-hmm. So if you take the Old Testament concept of, you know, what I'm about to do, God speaking to himself, you can go into the New Testament and take a look at the model prayer, and you see at the front end of the model prayer the concept of thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate first part of the model prayer is a recognition of God says he's going to go do something. I think he's going to go do it, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know about you growing up, but growing up, Joe, always had a dad who, when he said he was going to do something, I could...
You can count on it.
Yeah.
You count on it.
Yeah, I could argue against it. I could rebel against it. I could fight against it. I could twist and turn on it. But it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen.
You pray. I prayed he would forget.
Exactly.
But my father had a good memory.
That's right. That's right. Mm. So the idea of prayer, as we begin to talk about it, people always talk about prayer being us talking with God. Remember, prayer starts because God wants to talk with us.
Yeah.
He says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And he says, no, I don't think I want to. And here's the reason why. He says, because through Abraham, I intend to do something. Mm-hmm. So this is the next piece of prayer that we have to have in our mindset if we're going to pray correctly. And that is, God wants us to pray because he wants to use us to bless someone else. There's a simple phrase, it's not about you. Salvation is not about you. I know we always say, well, you get to go to heaven. You get your sins forgiven. You. But salvation in Scripture is always about what God intends to do through you once you're saved and in his will. So take Ephesians 2, right, where he says we were saved to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So when God was looking at Joe and offering salvation unto him, he was already preparing what Joe was going to do once he got saved. Before you ever became a Christian, he knew that you would be a broadcaster and you'd be sharing the gospel. I think that's really cool. But it also means that he didn't save you just for you. He saved you for others.
Right.
And I don't think that we understand that in American Christianity. we think of a God who loves us and loves me and wants my life to be good. God loves you, yes, but he wants to use your life to make good for others. And so as he's speaking to Abraham, he's speaking to him because not just he loves Abraham, but in the scripture he says, shall I hide from him, because he's going to become a great nation and other nations are going to be blessed through him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that as we approach the concept of prayer from the very outset, if we don't have that foundational understanding, then we don't understand how God answers prayer. And there are a lot of people that will tell you, you know, God answers prayer because he's faithful. God answers prayer because he's loving. God answers prayer because he's generous or he's kind or he's filled with grace. And all of these things are somewhat true. That's accurate. But foundational to the nature of who God is he's doing something that he has planned out, and it's his will that's engaged. And so it takes some of the romance out of it, I guess, but it puts the reality in, which is God does what God does because he's God, and he wants to use you in his plan. He's giving you the opportunity to be a part of what he's about. Do you think that diminishes prayer, Joe? Do you think that reduces prayer for the average believer?
Possibly, because it kind of seems to take out a little bit our influence.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it's a balance of, you know, of God being sovereign.
That's right.
And doing what God plans to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And because of the sovereignty, and taking out our influence, it does feel diminished. Because now we're thinking, well, you know, why do I even bother to pray?
He's going to do what he's going to do anyway.
God doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't love me. No, he wouldn't have started the conversation if he didn't care about you. He wouldn't have started the conversation if he didn't love you. And the reason that there is prayer at all is because he chose to reveal himself to you, mm-hmm. with the intentionality of having that relationship with you. So the change that happens and the thing that we need to wrap our head around is that the goal of prayer is not the changing of God, it's the changing of me.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting me in unity with where he's going. Because I'm going to make an assumption here, gentlemen, that you all believe that God has more wisdom than you do.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
And that his ways are better than your ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Then why in the world would I want to not diminish my influence, but increase my influence with God and make him listen to my will?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I truly believe that, then what I want to do in prayer is I want to figure out where he's going, and I want to go with him.
Amen.
And that's where this thing starts. I love Genesis. I love the relationship that God has with Abraham, and that God literally is speaking. You know, and you get to hear his thoughts. Should mm-hmm. I hold this back from him? Why would I? Because I know what I'm going to do with him, and I know what he's going to mean for my people. I want him to know what I'm about to do. Even though, and this is going to become very clear, I know he's going to have some issues with what I'm about to do. I'm going to tell him, even though he's not going to like it, he's going to have some problems. But it's important for me to talk with him because we need to have that relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's where God is.
Yeah.
Just as a dad, when my kids were growing up, you know, I wasn't asking my kids for advice at 3 years old.
Yeah.
But I also had long conversations with them at mm-hmm. 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, long's a stretch.
I was going to say, how do you keep her attention at 3 years old?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't go to them for the wisdom that you need as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You go to get them in unity with you as the parent.
Yes.
And let them walk with you on that path. And so there's a massive difference in the way that we approach prayer when we understand, and I liked your phrasing, Joe, that our influence is diminished. That's not something that sits well with the average believer, that our influence is diminished.
At least at the time, there are many times, I can't cite a particular instance, mm-hmm. when you afterward you say, well, thank you, Lord, for not answering my prayer way I prayed it.
That's right.
Because the way I prayed it was dumb.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No, somebody in Sunday school class actually quoted Garth Brooks, thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I can't argue with a man with a Stetson that big. You know, it may not be biblical, but
you can even find wisdom in a country song.
That's
sometimes.
It. Sometimes. Needle in the haystack, friend. Needle in the haystack.
Yeah, needle in the haystack.
Well, let's take a moment now and have some wonderful words of encouragement from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From a Princeton family, God bless each of you. We enjoy all you do. From Pembroke, we love the mission of Missionary Radio. From a Clarksville listener, thank you for spreading the gospel and your faithful service. From Hopkinsville, this station has been a blessing to us for many years. Thank you all for your faithfulness.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7, Missionary Radio.
Well, good morning. We are talking about prayer, and we are discussing the foundation of prayer. And the two questions we're addressing today is, one, does God answer prayer? And secondly, does it change God's will when we pray? And so the first question we have is, does God answer prayer? And the answer, of course, is yes. And the reason that he does is because in prayer he is working to pull us into the will that he already has mapped out. We're using Genesis chapter 18 with God and Abraham right before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we note that the conversation between Abraham and God, which is what prayer is, begins by God's initiative saying, I don't want to hide things from Abraham. I want to talk to him about them. And he's already decided what he's going to do, but he still wants to have the conversation with Abraham. And so after that occurs, when God shares with Abraham what he's going to do, Abraham immediately begins to have a conversation with God about it. But they're not on the same page. So, Joe, if you would you begin reading where Abraham questions God? And I guess we'll finish when we find out how many righteous people it takes to save a city.
Okay, I'll start at verse 22. The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. And then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. And then Abraham spoke again, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? If I find 45 there, God said, I will not destroy it. And once again, Abraham spoke to him, what if only 40 are found there? And he said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. And then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30. And Abraham said, now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. And then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home.
So you got to get at least 10 to save a city. Evidently, that's the breakneck number. You got to reach that. Now, here's the interesting question. Why 10? Why didn't he push it to 5? Mm-hmm. You see, Abraham is asking not for the city, and the phrase that he uses, will not the judge of the universe do what is right? He's questioning the justice of God. He's saying, I know what justice is, God, and it looks to me like you're about to make a mistake. Let me help you, God. I don't want you to make a mistake. I can assist you in this and keep your reputation clean if you'll just heed my advice. That's kind of where Abraham's going with this.
I wonder what the expressions were on the Lord's face as Moses kept coming down.
Uh-huh.
Because Moses had a sense that, I better reduce my number a little bit.
That's it. Except it wasn't Moses, it was Abraham.
Abraham, yeah. I'm in numbers where Moses
will
also
bargain with God. That's
where your
social class is? I understand completely. That's like the old riddle, how many animals did Moses put on the ark? And it's none. But everybody says, well, I don't know how many animals there were. They came in two by two. And you just assume. We take all these names and we mix them up. But the idea here
is Moses wrote
is,
this.
That's it. Moses, there you go. Well done. Nice save. I love it. But Abraham here is negotiating with God because there is actually a number that's in his head. Joe, what he's doing when he starts with the 50 mm-hmm. is that he's not looking for 50. He's looking for 4. And I can name all 4 that Abraham's concerned for. Lot, Lot's wife.
Their 2 daughters.
And 2 daughters. He doesn't take it down to 4. Because remember, Abraham presents this as, in general, it would be an immoral act for the judge of all the world to do something that is wrong in case there are righteous people there.
And I've heard some people speculate that, you know, Abraham must have believed that Lot had some influence
mm-hmm.
in those cities.
Right.
He must have won some people over to the worship of Jehovah God.
He's got his fingers crossed. He's definitely got his fingers crossed because he quits at 10. I think, in all honesty, the reason we stop at 10 is because 4 is 2 on the nose. He doesn't ask what he really wants to ask. Will you save my nephew Lot?
So if he had gone to 5, it still would have.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But if he had asked the actual request, will you save my nephew Lot?
Yeah.
God would have answered, well, yes, I intend to save Lot, because that's exactly what he does,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that's not how Abraham approaches it. He feels like he needs, in his prayer, to negotiate with God and barter him to a point. And so one of the things that we can learn in this is that we're not changing God's will. That's absolutely true. But we can also voice to God the prayer with complete transparency. You don't have to hide behind a negotiation process. Lord, if you'll do this, I'd be glad to give you this. Or Lord, if you will allow for this, then I'll give up that. You don't have to go through these processes with God. It's a conversation with your Father. And you need to understand who's the Father and who's the Son. We're the child. He's the adult. But on top of that, you can trust the love that he has for you to be very honest with him. Abraham was not. And it's unfortunate because that whole conversation could have gone very differently. And I think God could have spoken to Abraham in a more intimate fashion if Abraham had been more honest with God.
Abraham could have cut right to the chase saying, Lord, my concern here is for my nephew Lot and That's his right. family.
Absolutely.
Will you save them out of that wicked city?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so when we pray, being honest with God, I love what it says in Galatians? Where Paul says, Hebrews, let us come into the throne room of God with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also says, go boldly into the throne room of God with confidence, knowing that he will hear our request. We can trust that God wants to talk to us, and he already knows what we need. In the Matthew chapter 6, when God is giving the concept for the model prayer, what he states, Jesus states, before he gives us the model prayer on how we should pray, he says, when your father already knows what you need, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues praying. And don't be babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. Before we're given the model prayer of our Father, which art in heaven, what he says is, before you ever open your mouth, God's already got you. He totally knows what it is you need. And the reason he knows what you need is because he knows what he wants to do with your life. Again, I'm going to talk with Abraham because he's going to do these things and be the father of the nation. Because I know what I'm going to do with Abraham, I think I need to tell him about these things.
Mm-hmm.
God has an intentionality for your life. And what we want to do in our prayers is get in unity and in unison and in step with him. Our prayers are not to bend God's will. Our prayers, in truth, are to bend our will to God's. That's the entire focus. And so, a lot of times when people hear that or listen to that, their assumption is, and I love the phrase that you used, they feel diminished. Well, my prayer is diminished. And you get the, well, what's the purpose in praying at all?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk more about that because prayer has exceptional purpose with the Christian's life. But first, we want to hear some words from Johnny Erickson Tata.
Three cheers if you're trusting God right now through a hard trial. Yes, yes, God bless you for persevering through your trial right now, because you are being a God-glorifying good example to others like me. I'm Johnny, and if you are living courageously and valiantly for the Lord Jesus, if today you are clinging to your Savior despite tests and temptations, if you remain confident in him when trials keep piling on, or if you are leaning hard into Jesus in order to resist temptation, the temptation to complain or grumble or cave into discouragement, believe me, God is noticing you. God is writing it down. God is remembering this because you are making his son Jesus look great and glorious in the eyes of others. Angels are even rejoicing over that, but demons, they're not at all rejoicing. All of them are, though, standing on tiptoe, hoping that you will dishonor Jesus with a little grumbling? How about some complaining or being resentful of that trial? That is what the demons are hoping for. But friend, I'm praying that you'll persevere, because that is when you are effective in the kingdom of Christ. Satan may put a target on your back, but his fiery darts cannot touch you if you hold fast to Bible promises and if you call on the grace of God. Satan's arrows cannot pierce you if you dressed yourself in the armor of God this morning. And if you feel as though you cannot take the pressure of having so many trials, pray the way David petitions God in Psalm 56. In the first few verses, David, who was being sought by Saul, asked, "Oh, be gracious to me, O God, for all day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me. They attack me proudly. But when I am afraid, I put my trust in you." There you go. If you feel overwhelmed when the enemy attacks, tramples, and oppresses you, put your trust in the God of the Bible. It's what I do every day, especially as my scoliosis worsens in this wheelchair. I hold fast. I cling to Jesus. I keep my focus on Him, the one I want to glorify in the eyes of others. Others, including those demons who harass me and try to attack and oppress me. But I'm not going to be afraid. And I don't want you to be afraid either, friend. Because one day, and it's coming soon, one day Jesus will return, and no longer will His sword of justice be shielded behind His astonishing patience. No, He's going to crush His enemies, the chief of which is Satan himself. And here's how you, yes, you, figure into that. Romans 16 says, quote, listen closely, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet." Did you hear that? Jesus will crush the devil, and He's going to use your feet to do it. So for all the many times demons have prodded and poked you, harassed you, for all the times you've stumbled in spiritual warfare, for all the times Satan tried to get you thinking resentful thoughts about God, you will have the satisfaction of crushing him under your feet. Exactly how does that happen? Well, remember, you are wondrously united with Christ. He'll crush Satan, but he's going to do it with your feet because he's the head and you are his body. So, friend, be ready today. Put on the whole armor of God and live a life worthy of your Lord. Stand firm against the evil one. Read your Bible and pray without ceasing. Keep trusting God in your trials. Resist temptation and do not ever complain. But seek the grace, the strength of Jesus, and be steadfast and immovable.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching." There was a man who used to have problems getting his son to clean his room. He would insist that his son do it now, and he would always agree to do so, but then he wouldn't follow through, at least not right away. After high school, the son joined the Marine Corps. When he and his dad were on the plane together coming home for his leave after boot camp, the son said to his dad, "My life makes sense now, Dad. Everything you said and did when I was growing up now makes sense. I really understand." "Oh yeah," Daddy added, "I learned what now means." Now is always the best reply to the Holy Spirit's nudgings.
I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
I can be having a bad day or off day and turn the radio station on, and seems like it just makes my whole day better.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
The Apostle Paul wrote this to the Philippians in chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel." I'm Joe Barner, and we at Missionary Radio are thankful to God as well for so many of you and for your partnership in this gospel ministry. Your prayers and financial partnership have enabled God to use Missionary Radio to touch many hearts and lives with hope, challenge, encouragement, and with the love of Jesus. Our What an Awesome God Carathon 2025 is just around the corner, October the 7th through the 9th. Carathon is the perfect opportunity to let us know that you'll continue to partner with Missionary Radio for another 12 months, or even give for the first time. You can donate at missionary.radio or through the mail at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky 42241.
Well, we have been talking about the question, does God answer our prayers? And we have landed, I think, fairly firmly on the idea that He does. However, the foundation of our prayers changes what the answer is going to be. And so what we've talked about, the fact is that God already knows what He wants to do with our life before we pray to Him. God already has plans that are far superior to ours with our life before we begin to pray to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that God cannot be moved mm-hmm. by us to do something different just because we think it's a better idea. Now, there are those who would say, well, you know, then what's the point of praying?
Yeah.
I shouldn't even bother praying. I think, Brian, you had brought that up off air.
I did.
You know,
yeah.
These folks say, well, I don't need to pray because God
already,
knows.
And that's true. He does.
So why bother talking about it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Well, over in the Gospel of Luke, there's a passage where God is speaking, or Jesus is speaking, and one of the most important things in the parables that follow is a small editorial comment that Luke places at the very beginning of chapter 18. So, Joe, you're flipping pages fast. I tell you what, he is old school Bible drill.
Yeah.
He's got it down.
18.
18. Just verse 1, brother.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
That's all that needs to be said. There are parables that are in there, and it talks about this persistent widow and judge and so mm-hmm. on and so forth. The whole point of the parables is to say, listen, you need to pray
mm-hmm.
because you need not to bend God's will to yours, but to bend your will to God's. That's the point of prayer. So when you don't see the answer, when you don't see what it is that you think God really does desire to do, then you need to keep praying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an option here that we don't talk about in church. What we say is with persistent prayer, then you'll get the answer you want.
Mm.
That's normally the way it's taught and understood within mm-hmm. our congregations. With persistent prayer, you'll see the answer that God wants to give. That's what you'll find. It's not that you're going to bend God's will to yours, but you're going to actually have your eyes opened up to him.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're in conversation with him, the better you're going to understand where God is going and what God is doing. Just like we talked about with Abraham, God already knew what he was going to do before he had the conversation. And Abraham wanted to bend him to his will, which was to save Lot. And he didn't want to do it outright, so he did it through the negotiation of righteous people.
But guess what, Abraham? God already had that in mind. That was in his plan.
Precisely. God already knew what he was going to do, and God already was going to do what Abraham actually wanted to have done. But Abraham went through this whole rigmarole in prayer that wasn't necessary. And that's a lot of our prayers.
But it makes for a great story.
It does do. It does do it. That's right. So when we begin praying, we need to start with the foundation that God is God and I'm not. If you'll just begin there and acknowledge that what you know of him is nothing in comparison to what he knows of you. He's got the plan for your life. If we really believe that God is as wise as we say he is, if we really believe that God is as loving as we say he is, then why in the world are we trying to convince him otherwise in different situations? Well, because in this particular situation, Brother David, I want to go a specific way, and it's the only way that would really be loving. That's not necessarily true. There are a lot of very ugly things that turn out to be incredibly powerfully good events. So, you know, I think that we are short-sighted and God has long vision, and we need to acknowledge that. So, Matthew 6, he already knows what you need before you ask. There in Luke, don't quit praying just because he knows. Be persistent in those prayers. And in Genesis, we learn that God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's about. And you can walk through the process with him. And here's the cool thing. Abraham, it says, went home. He'd done all that he knew how to do. He hadn't asked specifically for Lot, and he could have had that peace. But what he did ask was, if you can find just 10 righteous people, would you not spare the city? And God said, of course I would. For 10 people, I'll spare the entire city. Abraham says, I can't ask for more than that. You're a good God, and I trust you. And so God goes on to do what he's going to do. And I love the phrase in that passage in chapter 18, and Abraham went home. He went home. He said, my hands are clean. I've done all I can, and now I just have to trust him.
But isn't it neat that God invites us to come alongside him in prayer?
That's right.
Into his work.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know the concerns on our heart.
That's right.
He wants to know our desire. And so it's that relationship that we're building with him through prayer as he involves us.
That's exactly right. It's the concept of growing in that connection. So when I was growing up, I don't know about you and Brian, Joe, but I was with my dad at work a lot. Okay, I don't know if you guys worked with your dad, but my dad had a business, so I would go to work for him. And we would get in this old blue Chevy truck, and we would have to go pick up parts or machines or whatever else. And we would have what I called the truck talks.
Truck talks.
That's right, because there was no radio when Dad was driving. He wouldn't play the radio. And so you could sit in silence or you could talk. But those were the only two options. You're either going to have a conversation with Dad, or you're going to just sit there and watch the markers go by. Well, I learned so much in those conversations. I don't think I bent my dad one direction or another, but I shared with him who I was and shared with him what I was about, and he listened to all of it, and then he shared with me how life works. and he told me what needs to take place to make sure that you have a healthy family and a healthy career and that you stand up and become the man of God that God wants you to be. My remembrances of those talks are the absolute best. And I am certain that I probably, in those talks, tried to negotiate some things that I wanted, and he didn't give them. I can almost guarantee that I did that. But the one thing that I will say, and it's the one thing I remember from all the truck talks we went through, it was a singular conversation. It was right before I left home. And he had the conversation with me, and he said, you always know where home is. No matter how far you go, no matter how many miles you run, he says, you know where home is, and you know you can come home. And I said, I understand, Dad. I do. And you know what? From that little time of conversation with my earthly father, it shaped my life to this very day, decades ago. And when my children were getting ready to leave home, I can assure you, it wasn't necessarily in our big red truck, but it was in a vehicle somewhere. When I was one-on-one with my children, I said, you know where home is. You can always come home. That's prayer. It's God saying, I know what I'm doing. Let me share with you what I'm doing. And if you've got worries and concerns, trust me, because I've got you covered. You know where home is. You can always come home.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.